Chapter 17, Drugs and the Big Picture. As we grow up, most of us tend to believe that our teachers are wise and protect us. And as do the police and our government. And this may last until you actually experience a flaw, either in your own parents or in some protected figure. Doctors seem to be above reproach and made of a sturdier cloth than normal humans. They wouldn't recommend some surgery simply because they do that particular operation and conduct their lives as if they were used car salesmen. Our politicians and the officers of the law are above reproach and cut of a special cloth that does not stain. Actually, we are lucky that the foregoing statements are not 100% wrong. And there really are some bright hands and heads at our service. It's a pity, though, that much of what we believe and practice is directed by powers that are consumed by corporate zeal for gain, and the big picture of all drugs is not a pretty one. Canada began years ago to support a marijuana party as a registered and legitimate political party that had plainly nothing in its objective save the liberation of the almighty herb from the incarceration and malicious dogma of powers that be. It's a shame that all of our prime ministers, save Harper, have touted some form of legalization amounting to approximately 1 ounce, 28.5 grams, since Pierre Trudeau's early Loudoun Commission, 1969-1972, that first specified it be removed from the list of illegal drugs. The commission found no reason for it to be controlled as a criminal producing entity and recommended that any negative results from the use of marijuana be approached by other agencies of the government and not the criminal justice system and incarceration. Unbeknownst to myself or others of the general public, and not included in any of our media at the time, there were international pressures applied to our system that resulted in the complete disregard of this commission. Since then, the announcements of legalization have been made regularly by all of our leaders, and then the item just completely drops off the news list and no more is heard of it. It seems that they want to get on the good side of the users and announce that they too imbibe, or at least used to, and their imaginary agenda would include legalization, but it never happens. The Americans have even clamored for the Canadian Marijuana Party to be brought to justice in the U.S., but we continually escape this fate by some miracle, and now it seems that the U.S. have their own marijuana party to deal with. It isn't necessary that you sell seeds, they are legal because they contain no THC, or have a smoking parlor attached to a paraphernalia store, or publish a regular blog on the subject, as does our representative here, in order to run for office in the United States, and not that it's expected either. Such a representative in the U.S. would have to be considerably more careful because the great power of greed is attempting to devour him, and not just the Justice Department. Theoretically, you can advocate civil disobedience in the U.S. and a change in present laws, but it's no mean feat to survive the black ops of those that want the drug culture and supply lines for themselves. Previously, we saw that the huge supply of cocaine that entered California and the rest of the U.S. in the early 80s was strictly sponsored by Oliver North and CIA buddies using MENA Airport. And from the looks of more recent stories, namely 5.5 tons found in Mexico in 2006, loaded in 128 black suitcases marked private, and found on a CIA-owned DC-9, it looks as if the American government is quite involved cashing in on this type of importation. Marijuana is quite unlike heroin and coke in that it can easily be grown anywhere in very high quality and nothing more than some lamps and a bit of ground. It can, however, be imported in the form of hashish and compressed weed, but takes up considerable space compared to the white powder type of drugs. No one is ever going to prove that the governments of U.S. are involved in the constant supply of these things to our economies and communities, even if there are stories about it everywhere on the web. So they will continue to influence Canadian law, and the ban will remain. I am very disappointed in this because I was under the naive impression most of my life that the battle for legalization of the lowly leaf was one that encompassed its use, misuse, benefits, and deficiencies. But I find out now that it only concerns profit and not health issues. Actually, health issues aside, there are many bloggers that point out that drugs need not be the source of litigation when personal use is considered, since they are a crime without a victim and only a matter of personal choice. I probably shouldn't have to even write these things, because only the most warped of minds could enter into the control of others in this way. Even if I chose to plant seeds of any kind in my garden and proceed to do whatever I chose with the plants that come forth, there is no power on earth that has any reasonable say that I cannot be more adamant in this. Now the Canadian government has gone to the trouble to agree with me as early as the 70s, and the Americans have put the kibosh on this, and not just here. Many front-page stories from South America especially have pointed the finger at U.S. meddling in their self-determination regarding simply the possession of personal quantities of marijuana, and this meddling pales by comparison of the examples of the 22,000 killed in Nicaragua by American government-sponsored agents attempting to overthrow the entire governing body. For me, or any writer, to rant against such incredible odds is likely futile, since the problem goes far into the American democratic system, or lack of it, and covers so many aspects of the problem of legalization of a single plant. But the legalization of a single plant is lost in the morass of complete breakdown of true legitimacy. Canada has been repeatedly warned that any legalization of pot would cause an immediate changing of the process of cross-border movements of both commercial and public traffic, and a further delay in the already slow pace of inspections. The very fact that none of these laws or discussions are even open to the public in a way that could have any results whatever points to the systematic decay that has occurred since North American governments degenerated into what is now some form of post-democratic rule. For those of you that feel that there is some need to legislate the usage of drugs for the protection of the average citizen, you might want to consider that OxyContin and Viagra have wreaked complete havoc on societies without even a murmur from controlling bodies. We have not even heard of what has transpired with the introduction of a sexual urge-enhancing drug, but I wager that the problems will easily outweigh the benefits when it comes time to tell this story. OxyContin, or oxycodone, is not even sold in many drugstores because of the problems with theft that it causes, and the stores carry a sign of the times on their doors, OxyContin not carried or sold here. This is a drug that really creates its own unrelenting need, like crystal meth does. And only the legal version that is touted as a pain reliever and mood controller. It actually creates severe mental and physical pain when you attempt to quit, and it's ideal in the sense that drug dealers, or should I say the national drug companies, that went to no trouble at all to legalize it. For those that want government control of dangerous substances, this is your answer. Even testing that reveals problems will not keep the drug from coming to the commercial market if the drug companies wish it to, because there's just too much lobby power applied to the government against any control. Aspartame, that's artificial sugar, is another very dangerous product that has no food value whatever and should not find itself within our grocery system. But again, the money rules the environment, and no sense is applied. Some of us personally cannot do much short of voting for the marijuana party, which will never get in, writing blog and mourning the loss of our democratic freedoms, or tuning in, as they say, turning on and dropping out. Basically, that's what I did. I refused to pay taxes to a government that has no conscience and have done so the majority of my life. I know that it's futile, but my efforts have been to undermine the system and have it examined by a new order of democracy, which I hoped would be the hippies, but that never went very far, and now this hope is transferred to the web, since the news media off the web have been purchased by yellow journalists known as media whores and pundits like the Fox News Channel. The big picture of drugs is an ugly affair and encompasses all level of governments in illegal activity while they mouth the war on drugs and simultaneously embrace connections with mafia, bikers, and drug lords, and then turn them all to profit for their own benefit. Namran Sor.